You are listening to Waters Church Podcast. Waters Church is a multi-site, multi-generation community of faith on the East Coast of America. Now, for a message from our pastor.
I want to share just something about miracles with you this morning. We're living in a time when many, many people, and I've done it myself many times, say, Ward, where are the miracles? We see so much going on in the body of Christ, and the churches are growing, they're developing. We have large churches, we have great personalities, great ministry, but where are the miracles like we see in the scriptures? And I've said that often, but just the other day the Lord rebuked me, I think, because he was telling me my eyes are on the wrong thing. And many people's eyes are on the wrong thing when they begin to focus just on miracles. And so I want to share something about the miraculous with you this morning. We've got to understand that God is a God of miracles. He does the miraculous. In fact, let me go further this morning to tell you that every single thing God does is a miracle. He's a miracle working God. He has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And we know we're living in the end times. The Bible tells us, that we must warn people of the days that lie ahead. There are so many scams and there are so many lies going on in church world today that is deceiving multitudes of people because they are not keeping their eyes on Jesus and they are not filling their hearts with the Word of God. We are not people that are called to walk by sight. We walk by faith. No matter whether I ever see a miracle or not, it does not change my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so these miracles are taking place all around the world. But Jesus said there's going to be false prophets. They're going to be false teachers. They're going to be false churches. They're going to be false miracles. They're going to be many, many false things are going to take place so that people can be deceived. Over the last number of years, I've seen people run this way and run this way because someone writes a book and then they come and make a claim like they've been to heaven. They saw all the things that happened into heaven. And so they start that. And then afterwards, you see there's another 1,000 people who are visiting heaven or visiting hell or having these extra experiences. And they write books on it. And most of the books do not line up with the Word of God. That's how we judge these things. If it doesn't line up with God's Word, it is God. And yet people are caught up with it. Now, the Bible says, let everything be established by two or three witnesses. In other words, we don't just believe because someone says it. The Bible says there must be a witness. There must be evidence. That's why Jesus, when he healed someone, he said, go and show yourself to the Pharisees. They were the health department. They had to go down there and they had to verify that indeed they were healed by Jesus. And so we need to understand we're living in that day. And I'm telling you, different things are going to change in the body of Christ. And I'm speaking prophetically this morning. I think there are multitudes of young people who are hungry and thirsty for truth. They are sick and tired of lies. They are sick and tired of the scams. They are sick and tired of the scandals that are going on in the body of Christ. And they are sick and tired of the shows that are taking place in the house of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. There's a generation that God's going to raise up. They are going to come together, not for the other things, but to come a worship experience, to have an experience with the living Christ, knowing that they have been privileged to be able to come into the presence of the living God. There are too many things taking place that distract us and lead us in the wrong direction. These false prophets and these false Christs that the Bible speaks about, I was thinking about it the other day. He said there will be those that will be false Jesuses. They will say they're Jesus, but they're not. And I thought about it, and as I looked around, I hardly ever do I see or read about any man anywhere in the world standing up and saying, I'm Jesus. You know, you hardly ever see that. So when that scripture speaks about it in the end times, I believe those people are going to stand up in our churches and they are going to say they're Jesus. In fact, there's a tremendous teaching flooding the body of Christ right now where we say we are all gods. There are well-known preachers online and everywhere that you can hear them. They are saying that they are first begotten, or God's only begotten children, just like Jesus. In other words, they're putting themselves on the same level as Jesus. They are calling themselves gods. This has been propagated in the body of Christ, and nobody speaks against it. Nobody warns people of the dangers in which we are living. You need to investigate. You need to check everything that you hear from the pulpit. Now, we all preachers. We make mistakes. We say the wrong things. That's okay. But majority what we preach and teach must be from God's word, not from our experiences, not from our family. I'm not called to preach about my family. I'm not called to preach just about my experience. I'm preached yet to preach the word of God, because God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is the entrance of God's word that gives us understanding. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. We are living in the end times. Hallelujah. And the church needs to be prepared. No more. We have a false gospel. We have a false response to the gospel. There is no more calling people to repentance. You just come and sing along, put your hand up, and you're in the kingdom of God. And there's no repentance. Jesus said, repent or perish. He made very clear that when you are born again, when you give your life to Christ, you must repent of your sin. You must turn around. You must walk in the opposite direction. In other words, an evidence or a witness of a person being born again is a changed life. You cannot say, I'm a child of God this morning, and you're still living the old life. Then you haven't had the experience that the Bible is speaking about. The experience of the gospel is powerful. It transforms and it changes people's lives. Amen. Now, there are many miracles that have taken place in the scriptures, and many miracles that we've heard over many, many years, and even what we're hearing today. Now, some of those miracles in the Old Covenant, they encourage our faith, because it tells us just how great our God is. But those miracles don't affect me. They have no impact upon my life. When Moses opened the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land, they were getting away from the Philistines. It was a great miracle, but it has no impact on my life. When Joshua told the sun and the moon to stand still, they needed more time. The sun and the moon stood still. It was a great miracle, but it has no impact on my life. And so there are many, many miracles that we read about, that we hear about, but they don't have impact on our lives. And that's why I want to show you this morning, I want to speak about seven miracles that have impact on every single one of our lives. And the first miracle that I want to mention to you is the miracle of the incarnation. The miracle of God becoming a man. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word became a man and dwelt among us. Now, I know every Christmas we have wonderful celebrations as we celebrate Christmas and we rejoice in the virgin birth, and our focus is on the virgin birth. So majority people think the great miracle of Christmas was the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. But there is a greater miracle. Because the greater miracle of the incarnation is not that Jesus was born of a virgin, but it is the miracle that the God who created the universe, who spoke it into existence and keeps it together by the power of His word, became a man. Amen. That is the great miracle. He was omnipotent. He had all powerful. He's omniscient. He knows all. His omnipresence. He's everywhere at the same time. This God who's everywhere, who knows all, who's all powerful, limited Himself to a human body. A body thou was prepared for me, He said to the Father. God became a man. He laid down His prerogatives as God. And from that moment on, every single thing that he would do as a man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was very man, very God, truly man. It never changed the fact that He was God from the beginning, and He will be God for all eternity. But He became a man. He stepped out of that glorious, wonderful place. that we can only imagine. Out of that righteous place, out of that holy place, of the place where they sing glory, 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 hallelujah to God all day long. He stepped out of that, where there was peace and joy, into a world that was captivated by sin and by darkness, by hatred and unrighteousness. He stepped out. He stepped down. Why did he step down? He stepped down so that you and I who are down can step up. Amen. The righteous died for us. He left that place so that you and I one day can go to that place. You see, Jesus, the birth, the incarnation, was not just a wonderful miracle that he was born of a virgin, but he became a man for me and he became a man for you. Limited. Jesus can only be at one time at one place. He was omnipresent. He could be everywhere at the same time, but now he's limited. And so whenever you read the New Testament, see Jesus did, he could only be at one place. That's why he said to the church, greater things than I did, you will do. What do we do greater than Jesus? There are more of us gathered this morning in the name of Jesus as it was in those days when he was alive on the earth. Amen? And so that is one of the great, great miracles of Scripture. There's a purpose for Jesus becoming a man. Said, so we who were men could be changed and transformed and have a wonderful life. Amen. The Bible says he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But he became a man. Secondly, the miracle of Jesus living a sinless life. He lived a sinless life. Never before was there anyone except Adam and Eve before they committed sin that lived a sinless life. The first ever to live on the face of the earth a sinless life was Jesus. Now you say, oh, yes, but he was God. No, he laid down his prerogatives as God and he became a man. Because the Bible says he was tempted in every single way that you and I are tempted. He was tempted with sex. He was tempted with lust. He was tempted with every temptation that you and I experience, yet without sin. That's a miracle. Amen. That's a miracle. All those years, no sin. The Bible said no sin was found in him. And there was no deception in his mouth. This man lived a perfect life. And he couldn't tell me and you to live perfect lives if he was still living it as God. But he lived it as a man so that he can identify with all our failures and our shortcomings and our challenges and our temptations that we experience in life and show us that in the power of his Father, you and I can live victorious lives. It's a miracle. A sinless life of the Lord Jesus made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He knew no sin, but all the sin of the world was loaded upon him. He was a carrier of our sin. Amen. And then the third thing is the miracle of Jesus' death on the cross. The death on the cross. Oftentimes we think about the death of the cross, that now he is nailed to the tree. And we saw when that Jesus movie came out, there was a lot of discrimination. People were arguing, why are you blaming the Jews for crucifying Jesus? Let me tell you something. Jesus said, no one takes away my life. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to take it up. In other words, he willingly went to the cross. He willingly surrendered his life. He willingly died on that cross because he knew through his death, you and I will have life. But when Jesus died on the cross, it was just a man dying. The Bible says there were miracles after miracles. In fact, every single one of these points that I'm sharing with you, 7 points, you will find there are other miracles that back up this particular miracle that I'm speaking about today. So what were the other miracles? First of all, it says there was darkness at the 9th hour. Jesus hung on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? For the first time in eternity, a righteous and a holy father had to look away. He could not look upon his son because his son took all the sin of the world, your sin and my sin, upon himself. And he had to look away because God cannot look at sin. It's darkness. Why was there darkness? We don't know. But is there a possibility that the father could not look upon the agony and the pain and the suffering of his son as he died on that cross for you and for me? There was darkness. Jesus cries with a loud voice. They say when you are in that stage of life, when you're dying, your voice weakens, or when you get older, your voice weakens. He did not cry with a weak voice. He cried with a loud voice, showing that there was still strength in him. And then he yielded up his spirit. No one took it away. He yielded it up to his father. And another miracle took place. The Bible says that in that Holy of Holies, the curtain, it was about 4 or so inches thick. It was torn in half from top to bottom. Only once a year the high priest could go into that Holy of Holies, and he had to go in there with fear and trembling, because if there's something wrong with him, he would be struck down dead because of the glory of the Lord. So only once a year he could go in and offer an offering on behalf of the people. And so that separated man from God. They could not go into that Holy of Holies. But when Jesus died, that curtain was torn in two. And for the very first time, every man, every woman who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, everyone who's followed him, everyone who's trusted him, can now enter into the Holy of Holies with boldness, because they do not come in their own strength and their own wisdom and their own faith, but they come in that new and that living way. Thank God this morning, I don't have to go through a priest. I don't have to go through a pastor. I don't have to go through an elder. I don't have to go through a bishop. I don't have to go through a king. I can enter into his presence with boldness because he is my heavenly Father. Hallelujah. That curtain was torn. And every single one of us sitting here this morning, surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, you can enter into that place. And you can cry, Abba Father, because he's your heavenly Father. Amen. The earth shook. The rocks cracked. When Jesus died on the cross, all these miracles took place. Not just him giving up a spirit, but all these things to place it. Even the Roman officers and others were there, said, truly, this was the Son of God. Truly, this was the Son of God. Even the earth shook at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fourth wonderful miracle is a miracle of his resurrection. Because the Bible says that the ladies went looking for him. And when they got there, was an angel says, I know you're looking for him, but he's not here. He is risen. Jesus rose again on the third day. And what I'm going to say to you now, there might be different views upon it. It is okay. You've got to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. Where was Jesus' soul the 3 days that his body was in the grave? Where was it? Ephesians says, he that ascended, first of all descended, and took captivity captive, and gave gifts to men. What does it mean? It means that before he ascended to the Father with his blood that he shed on that cross, he went into the heart of the earth. He went into the stronghold of the devil, because under the old covenant, the devil was the one who had power over death, and he kept everybody locked up in a place called paradise. But Jesus goes down and he strips him of his authority. He takes from him the keys of hell and death. He rises triumphantly on the third day and says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. Hallelujah. He stripped him of his power. The devil cannot twist your arm. The devil cannot bend you over. The devil cannot give you blue eyes. The devil cannot kick you. He is powerless. The only thing he can do is deceive, lie, And that's why Jesus speaks about the great deception that is coming upon the face of the earth. But Jesus, he defeated the enemy. Hallelujah. And he says, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God, it is swallowed up in the victory of the risen Christ. Hallelujah. He did it for us. He did it for us. He died for us. He rose again for us. So that with the gospel, the old man can die and there can be the resurrection of the new man coming forth through the power of God. Amen. The fifth great miracle is the miracle of redemption. The new life in Christ. Let me tell you what's the most important message today is the message of redemption. And let me put it to you this way. From Genesis to Revelation, there's one theme. If you look carefully and if you pray and you discern, you will see it. It is called redemption. Redemption. God saving. God restoring. God recovering. Everything that is lost because of sin. That's what the Bible is about. It's about God reaching out to restore those that are in darkness and those that have been deceived by the devil. Hallelujah. Therefore, the Bible says, therefore, if a man or a woman is in Christ, they are new creatures. All things pass away and everything becomes new. Every year, people turn over a new leaf. And just a little while later, they do the same thing again. People get caught up in terrible crime and they go to prison for 6 months and then they do the same thing later. They get 12 months. They do the same thing and they get 5 to 8 years. It's just like a kind of a recovery. But that's not what he's talking about. Coming to Jesus is not now getting religion. Coming to Jesus is a complete new life. If a man or a woman is in Christ, he's not restoring that old broken life. He's not restoring that old carnality, that old mindset that despised God, that rejected God, that stood against the word of God. No, he's talking about a complete change. Doctors can't do it. Psychologists can't do it. Psychiatrists can't do it. There's no home that can do it. Teen Challenge can't do it. None of those places can do it. There's only one who can do it, and his name is Jesus. If a man is in Christ, he becomes a new creature. How many of you sitting here this morning are new creatures? Only a few. Well, trust by the end of the day, all of you. New creatures. The old is dead, and that old man kind of resurrects himself, and he wants to take hold, but we walk him by faith every day, every moment. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not the recovered alcoholic. That's what the AA will tell me. I'm not a recovering alcoholic. I'm a delivered person. He delivered me. He broke the chain. He broke the chain. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, open the blind eyes, heal the broken, and set the captive free. Thank God I'm free this morning. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's a miracle. Redemption. Great miracle. That's why the old people used to sing that great hymn, redeemed our way, love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Number six, the miracle of his church. This is not an organization. I don't understand why so many intelligent people, some of them got degrees and masters in theology, they still treat the church as an organization. It is complete contradiction to what the Lord Jesus says. He says that the church is a body and Christ himself is the head. Not the Pope, not the pastor, not the evangelist, not the prophet, not the organization, not the Assemblies of God, not the Baptist, not the Nazarenes. Jesus is the head of the church. And he says, we are all members of that body. All of us that are born again, we are baptized into the body of Christ and we become a member of the body of Christ. And so what we're doing so desperately today, And everywhere you go, we're doing everything in our power to make the church a smooth running organization. And what are we doing? We're contradicting God's word. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, let everyone have a psalm, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things be done for the building up of the body of Christ. But we like organizations. Big boys, smaller boys, smaller boys, smaller boys, no boys. He's the head. And it's a privilege for me. The church owes me nothing. I said, the church owes me nothing. I owe Jesus all. He took me into his body. We are the body of Christ. We're unique. He says, don't give offense to the Jew nor the Gentile, nor the church of God. He puts us in the same category as he puts the nations of the world and as he puts the Jews. So the church is a body. Now, you look after your body. You want your body to work smooth and look sharp and all. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But it's not an organization. People say, oh, you know what? I think I'm going to join somewhere else. No, you don't join. You can't join. There's no place you can join. He adds daily such as should be added. You can do whatever you want to do. You can come with 1,000 degrees. Unless you are born again of the Spirit of God, you do not become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. All the churches in our nation, with their steeples and with their wonderful religious clothes and all that, doesn't mean that they're in Christ. It's only the new birth that puts us in Christ and causes us to be the redeemed of the Lord. Amen? And so, the church is a miracle. Throughout the ages, when the devil has tried to destroy the church. They've done everything in their power. They took the believers and they fed them to lions. They crucified them on crosses. They hung them upside down. They did all kinds of horrible things to those who will confess Jesus Christ as Lord. You remember Stephen, they stoned him to death. It's a terrible thing to see someone being stoned to death. Yet they stoned him, they stoned him, they stoned him. And yet he looks to God and he says, Lord, don't hold this against them. And what happens to Stephen? Because the Bible says when Stephen was being stoned, it says that Jesus stood. Jesus went to heaven to be seated. But now Stephen is stoned and he stands up. Why? Because he's going to receive him in glory. That's the love he has for us. Nobody else would have stood. No one else in the church would have stood, but Jesus stood. And Jesus was proud of this man, Stephen, that he would go through all that for his name's sake. So the miracle of the church. The devil has been fighting against it for ages. It's going to get worse as time goes on. And that's why I'm telling you this morning, there's a generation that God's going to raise up. They are sick and tired of the nonsense. They're sick and tired of the baloney that's coming into the church. They're sick and tired of the celebrities. They're sick and tired of all the motivational speeches. They are going to get back to the Word of God. They're going to get back to the presence of God. They're going to get back to being anointed by the Holy Spirit. And be the church that God wants them to be. We are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The miracle of his church. Number 7, the miracle of Jesus' return. When of his resurrection, the disciples were standing there and Jesus is taken up on the cloud. And his disciples are shocked. Where is he going? He's leaving us. And the Bible says there appeared unto him too many white apparel angels. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus you see go up is coming back. But we'll know him when he comes. If they tell me Jesus is in California, I'll say, show me a picture. And if they show me a nice picture of a handsome guy with long blonde hair and all that stuff, but no scars in his hand, he ain't Jesus. Because Jesus has got scars in his hands, scars in his feet, and scars in his side. And when he comes again, the Jews will say to him, where did you get those wounds? He said, in the house of my friends. Remember, the Bible says Jesus came unto his own, and they received him not. This time they will. He's coming back, the same Jesus. Amen? Amen. So don't listen to all these Jesuses that are going to pop up. Don't read all these books and these life stories that people are so greedy. There's a spirit of greed that has taken hold of many nations of the world. And it's all about greed and about money. People don't care how they lie. They don't care how people's lives are destroyed. No, that is not the call of the church. We need to be concerned about every single person. We need to pray for every single person. We need to share hope with every single person, because Jesus Christ alone is the hope of the world. Amen. It's coming back again. Amen. Amen. Said in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. But I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may also be. He made that promise. He's coming back again. Amen. Amen. Oh, that should be a better amen than that. Amen. Jesus is coming back. Hallelujah. We don't know when. I remember I was in the ministry in a church in Cape Town, South Africa, many years ago. I think 1988. And they wrote this book, Seven Reasons, or So Many Reasons Why Jesus Come. And I looked at those reasons, well, nonsense. And everybody was flipping and talking about this. That year came and went. Jesus never came. We have the Bible. I said, we have the Bible. And the Bible tells us the same Jesus is coming back. Listen to my friend, one day there's going to be a shout. And I know some of you don't like shouting. Only reason why I shout, I'm deaf. I got to speak louder to hear myself, otherwise I'm in trouble. So I might say the wrong thing. It's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel. The Bible says the trumpet of God is going to sound. And it says the dead in Christ shall be resurrected. Every single believer, every man, woman, young person, and child that gave their life to Christ, that went to the grave. It says the graves are going to open up. And their bodies are going to come out, and Jesus is going to come with his spirit and their souls. And spirit, soul, and body is going to come together. And those which are alive are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And together we're going to be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a glorious day coming for the church. And I'm not suggesting, you know, Jesus is coming. We need to get excited. We need to pack our bags. We need to go and sit under a tree with a harp and just sing, Jesus loves me. This I know. No, no. We've got work to do. We've got to preach the gospel like never before. And don't worry about fans. I'm not here for fans. Some of you don't like the way I preach this morning. Some of you don't even like me. But it don't matter. It don't matter. I'm called to preach the gospel, and God said to me, I want you to give all the fire you got in these last days, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to be more prophetic than ever before. I'm going to preach the word of God with power, with authority, because I believe God has a great plan for his church. And I don't want to disappoint young people. They might say, oh, Pastor Gaji, you're a little bit old-fashioned. Don't worry about old-fashioned. There's fire. Yeah. There's fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Will you stand with me for a moment? Bless his name. As you come up to make the appeal, I just want to, one prayer. You can come. I just want to pray for everybody this morning and those that are watching. God is a miracle working God. And you and I may need a miracle this morning. A genuine miracle. Not scams, not things to brag about, not things to lead people astray, the real thing. We're here, we've got something deep down in our hearts. I can't preach this if I don't believe it, that God is a miracle working God. But why doesn't God do this? Would God do that? I don't know. He's God. All I know is I can ask, and you can ask. Lord, we pray for all the dear ones here and any other locations that are gathered in your name this morning. Oh, we rejoice because your name is a name that's above every other name. There are those that swear word, use your word, your name is a swear word. But there's a day coming that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. We know that you are a miracle working God. You have not ceased to perform miracles. But Lord, I pray this morning that you help us to focus on these seven miracles, because all seven of these miracles plus the other miracles involved are an impact in our personal lives. It's all for us. Jesus, you came. Jesus, you died. Jesus, you were crucified. Jesus, you were buried. Jesus, you rose. Jesus, you ascended. Jesus, you went to heaven. Jesus, you are coming back. All that is for us. And we thank you this morning. Touch and meet those needs that are there desperate this morning, oh God. You know what they are. You are the miracle working God. We thank you in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Waters Church. For more information or to visit one of our local assemblies, please visit waterschurch.org. God bless and have a great day.